All right, let's turn to Scripture, beloved.
Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now I want you to turn with me to the Epistle of John, which you will know, beloved, is the Epistle of Eternal Life. Now I suppose that in a weekend of this nature, we forbear call it a conference, of course, in that we just call these Exeter weekends. They're much too short to be conferences. Conferences need something of a worthier length. But those of us are familiar with these meetings, and this type of meeting when we come together and we remain together in the presence of the Lord, we will not be unfamiliar with that wonderful word of Peter's in Acts chapter 2, when being challenged by these people that asked the question, "What meaneth this?" Peter answered, "This is that," and went on to deal with a prophecy which was a promise and a fulfillment of it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He dealt with God's faithfulness and with the event in which the question was asked. And if you know the life of Peter and follow him through the scriptures and through his writings, you will find that he does this sort of thing over and over again. You will find that Paul does it too. These two great apostles, they deal with events and things and give explanations of the movements of God. You read their writings with this in mind, and you will see exactly what I mean. I haven't time to stop to illustrate it, though I could, because of that which I want the rather to say. When you come to John, you will find that John deals with things in a completely different manner. Sometimes I marvel at the privilege granted to John, that he should be enabled by the Spirit of God to deal with such wonderful things as we read. Now see if it dawns on your heart, bearing in mind that scripture that I have already called your mind to in Acts chapter 2. All right, now we're going to read a bit in this first chapter of this epistle. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. May I interpose there? He was saying, ours is. We want yours to be. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, I drew your attention purposely at the beginning to that great statement of Peter's. But when he was asked the question, "What meaneth this?" he said, "This is that." Now, you will see that John doesn't use quite that language. He doesn't go in for the first idea of it. This is. He only deals with that. That is what he is dealing with. Let's look at verse 3. I want you to put a comma after the first word. That. Or, if you like, a semicolon. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And what is this that that he is talking about? Verse 1. That. There it is. That. Glory. That. Isn't it a marvelous thing? You will see, beloved, that this man, by the power and the Spirit of God, is dealing with the great, often unspoken questions of the human heart. You will find this if you read his Gospel, of course. You will find that John deals with those deep, innermost, again, often unspoken yearnings and longings of mankind. As you go on through that gospel, I always think this is wonderful. When you get around the 13th and 14th and 15th chapters of his gospel, whether or not we might come there together over the course of this weekend, I don't know. But you read it again, and you will see that this man is led of God by the Spirit to get right down here. You hear it, you say, "Show us the Father," and that's sufficient for us, you see. This question, this great longing for fatherhood, to know that there is a great, loving, tender father heart, you see. Or the other great problem, that we don't know ourselves. You'll find it in, well, all right, I won't deal with that now. But you'll find it there as you go through John's Gospel. Now, in his epistle, he is giving vent to something which the human mind and heart cannot, without God, grasp. He comes on it, that. That. What a glorious thing it is. Now, beloved, a man can't talk like this. And you must remember, I hinted at it as we read through. He said, "I have written this unto you, that your joy may be full." Of course, if you read this in an unenlightened matter, manner, you might read, we write something that your joy may be full, and see, put the emphasis on the word joy, because everybody wants joy. I sometimes stay with a dear brother in London, and his wife's called Joy, and he calls her his little bit of joy. And you see, everybody wants to have joy, but that's not really what he's saying. It's when we make this emphasis, as wonderful as it is, and the Bible permits it, this of course is such a glorious book, we've really missed the thing that the Holy Ghost is saying. What he's saying is this, that John and these early people, the early church, you must remember that John was writing for another generation when he wrote this. That's clear. Yes, you all understand that, don't you? He was writing for another generation, and of course it's come down to many generations since. But when he wrote it, he wasn't writing it for these that were in that glory of the first revelation of God that followed on after the manifestation of Christ on the earth. And the Holy Ghost came, and these people entered into that. John said, Peter said it was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and so on and so on and so on. But John isn't talking about what Joel said, bless the name of the Lord. You'll hardly ever find John, especially in his epistles, quoting what other people have said. This man is talking right out of God. You can expect a man to talk out of God that's in the spirit on Patmos. He's got nothing else to talk out of. He was in a chain gang. He was a slave on Patmos. He wasn't in some sort of lovely little cottage in the south of Ireland, so he could write his book nicely for 6 months. I'd been offered a place like that. I'm not going. But for the same reasons too. But I haven't got time. But he wasn't in a nice little place with a southern aspect and gorgeous hills and wonderful sea and balmy air. He was in a slave chain gang, see? Might have been the communists that got him. See? Because Watchman Nee wrote most of his stuff like that too, you know, don't you? Whilst in captivity. You can tell where it comes from, all the best. Paul's best stuff came out of prison. That's right. That's right, isn't it? All right, I won't turn aside on that. It's a very tempting subject. But here's the glorious thing, beloved. You see, these people were living in it. This man was talking out of knowledge. He wasn't, if I may say, merely, forgive the word, giving a revelation from God. Do you see? He was talking of the life that he was living. This is the glory of it all. And he was in a place that he could write from. And unless he could write from this place, he dare not write. Would God that we all lived here, beloved, and never talked except from the position we were living in. Instead of quoting something else, or what God said to Andrew Murray, or someone else, you see? It was right enough through Andrew Murray. He had a right to speak it. But one of the great things that George Fox rebuked this land of ours for, as he went up and down its length, was, what right have you to stand up and use the words that holy men of God have written, and you're not living in it yourself? Oh, away with him! Kick him out! Break him! Do you see? That's what they said to George Fox. But that's what he used to do. And he'd stand up in the middle of the church services and interrupt it too. Most of us haven't got courage to do that. That's why we still talk about it. They won't talk about us. But this man lived, see, and he lived in this position that you have revealed in verse 7. And unless you live in this position, you can't and dare not talk about it. God forbid that there be a great restraint laid upon us, lest we glibly handle the precious words of revelation and hand them out like we so often do, and we're not in this position that makes the things that we say obvious. For what was the position that he was in? In the light. He was in the light. And because he was in the light, beloved, he could say what he said. That he's going to talk about eternal life. Because the light was shining through him, people could see what he was talking about. That's why people don't see what we talk about. This is why people don't get what we say, though we quote all the inspired words of Scripture and hand them out right and left. It's because these people were living in the light. And as we say, this is the message, God is light. Glory, you see. And he was living here, walking here. Amen. And then he could pick up his pen one day by the glorious Spirit and say, that! And because people aren't in the same light, most haven't got a clue what he's talking about. This is the tragedy. That! Say what? What? What is he talking about? That! But you see, if it's light and you're pointing to something in the light, you can all see it, can't you? The door, that, you see, you can all see it, because the light shines. Wasn't any light here, you wouldn't see it. This is the way Jesus talked. You see, he was the light, and he could say, there are, see? See what John like Jesus, exactly, that's what the verse says, as he is. That's what it says. That's what the verse says. As he is. Simple, isn't it? Of course it's simple. Why are we stumbling about all these things and made such a fuss? Because often the light that's in us is darkness. And how great is that darkness? Because it leads people to stumble along the same way that we're going when we're doling out stuff under the pretense that we're in the light, or we are the light. That's the tragedy. And here's the glory of the revelation. That, he says. That. Now, beloved, the church must be a fellowship in this glorious light that we have in verse 7. I know this is a much preached over nice verse, and it has specific angles of interpretation according to what line or denomination of teaching you may have come. Thank God we can all afford to be free of particular emphases. But the church is a fellowship of light in this wonderful light. And beloved, we have, as the Lord Jesus Christ had. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's right, isn't it? And the light shone, and we are told that he came. We're still in the same first chapter of John. John is always writing with reference back to his earlier writings or other writings. You mustn't take John out of the context of his own writings. We'll see it a little more clear in a moment or two. If you do, you're sure to make a mess of it all. But if you take John's writings as a complete little set in themselves, which they are, and you go to and fro through his writings, you'll understand it all. And if we go back to the first chapter of the Gospel that he wrote, you'll find that because this light shone, we can have life. Because men have received him and gave him power to become the Son of God, able to learn to believe on his name, which were born. You see? Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, not of blood, but of God. See? Here's the great continuation of the truth. And John and all those early apostles, and of course all the early church, for they were but structural pillars in the early church, and so on, foundation men, and the church was built upon them. Glory. You know, we're all built on one another, don't you? And if I'm not sound, you can't be built on me. We are supposed to be built on that. Oh, you can't build on it. Oh, but you're supposed to, you see. It's no good you getting queer ideas. You can't build on that man north or that man south or that man black or that man... Well, you're supposed to. That's what spirit does. Build you on top of one another. What a brick for. They go on top of one another. Now, come on, use your common sense. It all sounds so nice. Oh, I'm Barney Christ for me. Nonsense. When our brother was saying earlier, I nearly wanted to shout out. He said, Lord, I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Ghost. And then I wanted to go on. I wanted to say, I love the church. I wanted him to say it. Because I do. That's the love that's in me. I love you, brothers and sisters. That's right. Same love. In the same breath. That's what God's intending. In the same connotation. Not that the church can save you. The church is a company of people who've needed saving themselves. But glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his body, beloved. If you love Jesus, you must love his body. You can't say you love me if you kick me around. This is the tremendous thing that we have to see and see so clearly. And let's understand it. Here's the great revelation that this man, as all those early people, lived in this. Hallelujah. So they could say, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. He's dealing in the great mysteries now of God. And of course, when you get here, you have to talk about his life as that in the neuter, him in the masculine gender, but oh, that, this wonderful, glorious life, this fullness, this only, so far as John was concerned. Oh, his heart is so full of it. That which was from the beginning. We've heard it, and this is what it's all about. And this, beloved, is why we must be here and in it and live it. Because, you see, if you look in this verse 1 and understand it correctly, you will find that this is the logical order in bringing men to Christ. Here it is, listen. We heard it. There it is, that's the first thing. You hear something, that's right, isn't it? You hear something. You stop. What do? You see it with your eyes. That's right. It's all attraction. To attract others. You hear something. You see it. And then you stop and have a good look at it. That's right. That's the order in the truth. We looked upon it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We handled it. That's the way of coming into it. That's the way, order of attraction. This is fellowship in the light. That's what we're here for. It's all in the first verse, isn't it? Need my God, Father, once you've got that first verse digested, the rest is simple. It's all there. So you'll find that John develops from the seed. He takes this thing that's the seed. Hallelujah. That. Oh, glory. And just like Genesis is the seed plot and the rest of the Bible develops from it, so it is here. That! And you read through the epistle, and that's that. That's right. That's that. Lovely, isn't it? So when you read right through and you come to the last word in the epistle, which is, little children, keep yourselves from idols, you say, that's that.
Amen.
And if your life isn't that, then it isn't. And I mean that. Like Paul says, if I give my body to burn and all this, now I am not. I just aren't. Don't exist. And if it's not this, then it isn't. Cram fools and fill up with beliefs too. That's the trouble. John says, talking about life, that glorious life. Oh, he says, which is the word of life. And miss out the parenthesis, that, he says, he's back on it, that's right, which we've seen and heard. Glory. Now it's wonderful, he slightly changes. He starts off with heard and seen. And now he's saying, well, we've seen it, and we kept on hearing it, and it was all consistent. What we heard was consistent with what we saw. And what we saw, and then we stopped and had a good look at, and when we handled it, we found the substance was exactly as the sound. Oh. If all our gospel preachers were put to the same test, or convention speakers, if we were all put to the same test, whether he's like his own talk, whether he is what he says, not what he says he is, but what he says. Oh, beloved. But don't you see? This is what God is talking about. The rest is nonsense. It's that 20th century caricature of true Christianity. This result of one's own efforts, struggling, striving, hoping, believing, singing, jumping, shouting, instead of it being that, so that when they get hold of you, they can say, this, it's that. Glory. Do you know, my son-in-law, his father is one of the champion wool sorters in the world, in Bradford, and that's the wool centre of England. And he can get hold of wool when it comes into his hands, and he can say, oh, this is that. He knows just where it's come from. Knows what it is. I can't do that. I haven't got a clue. But I tell you what, I can do this. Praise the name of the Lord. Infallibly. This is the glory of it all, you see. We sing. Now what we've heard and seen, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us in this thing. Hallelujah. So it's not trying to say, oh, let them come and join our church. That's not what John's talking about. God forgive us. That's not what he's talking about. See, we've twisted it round in our little secluded denominational, or if we don't like the word, cliquey interpretation, whatever you want. I haven't got a clue. That's not what John's talking about. This blessed fellowship, beloved, in this wonderful light. The first thing he says is God's light. God is light. You see, and you're shedding light on yourself, my beloved. You're shedding light on yourself. So no, and if it's darkness, that light, then it's terrible. On what you are. See, God is consistent. He can only show light on what he is. He is light. That's right. Move through everything under the light. All the time. Make the light plainer to men. over and over and over again, and people read the Bible and they say, oh, John 15 and all this, and can't understand it. All our scriptures, we were sitting at breakfast this morning, some of us and few of us, and we were talking about that wonderful word, you know, in Corinthians. I don't know what your interpretation of it is, but 1 Corinthians 15, you ever read it about being baptized for the dead? You know that verse. Of course, everyone will know what I thought about it in our little clique, you see. You see, do you understand what that verse means? If you ask the Mormons, they'll tell you it means this. Or if you ask somebody else, they'll tell you it means that. Do you know what it means? I know what it means. Simple as ABC. Has been for years to me. Now you're thinking, you're going to tell us, but I'm not. Why should I tell you? I had to get down to it before God and find out. I might do. If you're good. But not now. Here's the tremendous thing. That God is wanting us to understand. Wanting us to know, beloved. You see, most people cannot know. Because they are not. Because they have not light in themselves. This is the truth. And here's the wonder of verse 7. Not that I mean by this that we should have all the light all at once. It's wonderful about this light that this verse says in verse 7, you've got to walk in it. Now this is the trouble. Just as soon as you get in, you don't expect to understand everything. You must walk in it, mustn't you? This is such a vast, this is so tremendous. You've got to walk in. Walk and walk and walk in the light, my beloved brother and sister, if it seems that you have no fellowship at all with your own or handy flesh and blood. In your group, or your line, it doesn't matter about that. You've got to walk in the light. Because that's where he is. He's there. And walking with the Lord in the light is just you in fellowship with him. He said, no, that verse says we have fellowship together. No, it doesn't. You see, that's the funny part about it. Verse 3 doesn't say that. That's what you've interpreted it to mean. He's not saying you have fellowship with us. He said you have fellowship with us. And we each and all have individual fellowship with Jesus, and we want you to have it. That's what he's saying. That's right. See? That's right. You let that sink in. That's what he's saying. He said, I walk so close with Jesus, I hear him, and I see him, and I look upon him, and I am. And that's called fellowship. That's what I do, says John. Now, you have fellowship like we do in this. He said, come and have fellowship with me, see? That's how we interpret it. But you've got to keep on going in the light, and then you start interpreting things right. And this is what he's saying in the 7th verse. If we say we have fellowship with him, you see, that's right. Our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son. John is saying, no, my fellowship is with Paul. I say, well, Paul says, if any fellowship in the gospel, and that's right, a true yoke fellow, and that's absolutely right. You couldn't be a yoke fellow with Paul if you weren't having fellowship with Jesus. That's the great point. You've got to be here. And this is why you aren't in fellowship. if you aren't in fellowship? Because of this. I didn't say the fellowship. You might like to talk about your group or set. Talk about that. That's not it. We had a wonderful time at Cliff, those of us that went there. Well, we think we did. But we had a letter since. Now I've got to be careful because these tapes go all over the place. But we have had a letter since. It was very wonderful time. But you know what we found? If you weren't in, you were out. Very obvious. But a dear brother I know wrote back that person and said, well, we've all found like this, but you see what I do when I go, I get in. You can always stand up and say, I'm that cliquey lot. They don't come when I get a hiding under my bed. They can't love me, they can't want me. They don't come after me when I go off on my own. They've no love in them. See? It's amazing how people think, isn't it? And they know positively well that Jesus said, come on after me, I'm going to live on Mars, all you people on the earth. Come and find me if you want to have fellowship. Come on, unless you don't mean it. No loving you. He came right down here. He was born like a bastard might be born. That's what they tried to make out it was, too. He came down here. See? That's it. He got into our blood. Our very flesh. Oh, glory. What's all this talk about? Oh, you see, beloved, our fellowship's with the Father. And everybody that's in fellowship with the Father is in fellowship with me. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, they're not in fellowship where I'm in fellowship then. See? That's the truth then. It's as simple as that. Now you see, beloved, our fellowship in verse 7 is in the light as he is. As he is. Glory. In the light as he is. Wonderful, isn't it? Those little words, as he is, are bounded on other side by three other little words. In the light. In the light. In the light, as he is. In the light. Wonderful. There it is. Glory. The central focal point. Let's have a look. We must consult John. We'll understand what he's talking about. We must take full textual reference about this. Revelation chapter 1. Now John's epistle, you will find, starts where the Revelation starts. Where's this? Jesus in the light. Alright? I was in the Spirit, verse 10. I heard a voice, great voice, kindly, and the trumpet said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Verse 12, I turned to see. Here it is, you see, what we have heard. Here's the logic of the Revelation. We read it in the first verse of the first epistle in the first chapter. Here's the same order of Revelation. He heard a voice, that which we have heard. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw, and he had a good look at it, the seven golden candlesticks. That's the light, isn't it? Alright, that's the light, hallelujah, in this particular revelation, and in the midst, Jesus. Right in the midst of the light, there he was, and listen, there he is. Where? In the midst of the fellowship. And then he began to deal with the things that broke fellowship with him. He began to deal with the things that break fellowship with him. You're fallen. You don't love him. Oh! Peter. Nothing anymore. See? And then he goes on in all the other things. Don't love. You know, I have the privilege of dealing with many, many people. They say to me, Mr. North, I love Jesus. You see, I said, yes. I used to, as far as I can remember, I always have. Then God deals with them. I get changed all up inside. Then I get a letter that's over, absolutely overflowing. Got one today. Hallelujah. Not talk about it. Stale. Said to my wife, read this letter, love. Oh, what's happened? 20 years I've been struggling and struggling. Where have I been all this time? Oh, tipping over with love. Flooding. Oh, so good. Don't think it can possibly last. You, all the dismal Johnnies I spent are telling her, and the devil saying it can't. And all this business. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I won't tell you what I wrote back. I snatched time out of a day of what should have been about tonight and tomorrow, the next day after. Just to write back to him and say, oh, forget it, it'll be all right. You just keep going loving Jesus. More or less, that's what I told him. This is the truth. This is the truth. Jesus is in the night. And John says in his epistle, he says, as he is. Well, let's have a look at him in the light, shall we? Here he is. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That word one isn't there in the Greek. Like unto the Son of Man. See that? Clothed with a garment down to the foot. Girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white, like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And so it goes on. His right hand, seven stars. Out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword, his countenance as the sun shining in his strength. That's him. Are you like that? As he is. Are you like that? Now you've got to walk in the light like that. Well, truly, when you see it, I mean, how do you think? How in the world did John manage to see the sort of seven candlesticks with a face shining like the sun in his strength? I mean, you couldn't see a candle, could you, if the sun was shining like that? How could you see it? That's a miracle, isn't it? You couldn't possibly see 7 or 7 million candles burning when a face is shining like the sun in his strength. Not the light of the church, you see. Not the light of the church. The light of his countenance. Glory. Clothed down to his feet with his wonderful clothing. Glory. Oh, don't let me weary you with the repetition of the details. But that's him. Are you like it? So, piteous? No, I'm not going to pity you. Don't you call for self-pity. That's what the Bible says. But I ask you, is he like that in the churches? And what do you think he's in the churches for? What do you think he does? For fellowship. Of course he is. That's what he's come for. Fellowship with you, Jesus. Do you want to have fellowship with me? Your heart's got to burn brighter than my feet. Your face has got to shine bigger than this sun. Do you love me? Lord, I love you purely, devotedly. Nothing else matters.
No one. That's how he loved you.
And still does. And will never cease to. That's our Jesus. That's it. You like that? I invite you to come onto the higher ground of honesty. You must walk in this light as he lives. Way there behind the burning of the gold candlesticks, we know that the perfect church should be. That is seven to number of perfection. But the church in perfection came out of Jesus' mouth, not the way they were living, because they lost their love. Their life wasn't mean what it used to mean. They were just like candles. They ought to be like sun. Isn't that the trouble? Churches are like candles burning in the dark. And people come along and keep stoking it up and pouring in the oil. They're called ministers. Instead of saying, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, you ought to shine like the sun. The way to do it is to fall in love with Jesus as Jesus fell in love with you. See? And all the other things that came out of his mouth, if you'll be that, you'll be like a son, my brother. You'll be like a son, my sister. You'll have a voice that is like the voice of many waters, like the flooding of the ocean, the running of the river, the dropping of the rain, the settling of the dew, or the springing of a fountain. That's right. Many waters, they can't quench love. Can't quench love. And way then, back behind it all, the eternal city, which John sees in the background of everything as he looks down through his revelation, and you see this great city, the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. He sees it coming down from heaven, out of heaven, from God. Verse 11 of chapter 21. And she had the glory of God, and her light like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And he talked, verse 15, and he measured, and verse 17, and he measured. All right. And verse 23, that city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine. The glory of God is light. The Lamb is the light. Well, you walking like that? But note where the Lamb is. He's in the bosom of God Almighty in that city. This is the great truth. Now, beloved, you and I have got to walk here. Got to walk like this. God belongs. I want my life to be like this. God is life. God has so combined all his wonderful substance. For if ever there's substance, it's God. And like the substances of that glorious city, with foundations and walls and gems and precious metals and thrones and a tree and everything else, it just combines and fuses in glorious light. God is light. Amen. That's why you can say that. Can you say that? And give people something to hear, something to attract their attention, something to see, something that they may pause and look at long, steadily, critically, if they like, and say, this is flawless. I find no fault in this man. And handle it and see that it's God. Life. It. That. Positive. Distinctive. Eternal. Have you got that? This is what the epistle is all about. I have but brought you onto the doorstep of it. Oh dear, the time gone. I suppose we've soon got to finish. But what a wonderful revelation it is, beloved. If we walk in the light as he is, not as he used to be, except that he always was and is and ever shall be, but in the unfolding and revelation of it as it is written into the scripture by John's great glorious pen, as he is. Amen. Isn't it? As you walk, your very feet will burn as though they burn in a furnace. And instead of you getting infected by the earth, you'll affect the earth. You'll purge the very ground on which you walk. This is what God wants. That's it. Walking with Jesus. Right there in the midst for everybody to see. See? Now the fellowship is this. We're a fellowship of people. Ah, I'll just see. This is it. This is that. Do you want to know what it is? Come live with me. Come and handle it. Come and hear it. Come and gaze on it. Here. That's what Jesus said. What do you want? Where dwellest thou? Come and see. There it is. Well, John was one of them. See, this is why he writes easily. Well, what for this which we see. He heard it first. Ha ha. Glory. And he saw it. And then, boy, he stopped and had a good look. He had a good look. And then he put his arm right on him. And he laid his head right on him. And he could look very cool. I'd give anything to be like this. If I could change myself and become another man, I'd become Jesus. And he couldn't do it himself, so Jesus came and did it for him. And that's what Pentecost is all about. Peter said, this is that. John says, well, this is that. But another way. He just dealt with the that part. And that's what they received at Pentecost. And that's why they turned the world upside down. And that is how it was all done. John and Peter are complementary. They are brothers in Christ. They are twins in revelation. They move from the same heart. They say the same thing in another way. And oh, may you and I say it too. For Pentecost is here.
and now.
And did you not see, beloved, in that wonderful verse in the Revelation? I nearly stopped on it. This is the trouble. When we really get going, I have to stop on every little thing. But there's a word which says, they saw New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. See? And it says, having the glory of God. Not she's going to have it, or she did have it, but having. All the time she was having it. All the time she was having it. See? She was having it all the time. Oh, glory. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Right in the midst of all of Jesus. Now you've got to be as he is. Now, it's no good you pleading for exemptions or extenuating circumstances. It's no good you pleading for dispensations. Jesus is Jesus, not the Pope. You understand? Come, live here, be here. You've got to drop everything else. Got to stop it. Doesn't matter what it is. Whether you call yourself a preacher, or a minister, or a teacher, or a member, or anything. Make a difference. This is it. Glory. For God is life. And in him is no darkness at all. And so he can say, that, this, there you are, praise God. May the Lord help us and move us in this great, great life of revelation. Let's have some time in his presence now, shall we, before we praise God.